when you connect the two, it does something. Sickness was the penalty of sin. There was no sickness in the earth before Adam sinned. For Jesus to heal on earth, there had to be forgiveness of sin going on. He had the authority to forgive sins and to remit or cancel the penalty. Oh, we're going to get to something in just a minute. And we're not far away from it. Anyway, so I won't get ahead of myself. Immediately, in verse 25, he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. See, what glorifies God, sickness or healing? Not a trick question. Healing glorifies God. See, he went to his house glorifying God. He proved to them that he had authority to forgive sin. See, you can't see forgiveness of sin, but you can see healing. That you may know that I have authority on earth to forgive sins and the penalty of it. Take up your bed and go to your house. I just proved to you that I have the authority to forgive sin and remit the penalty. Anyway, think about that for a while later when you get a chance. He proved to them that he had authority to forgive sins and to remit the penalty. The man got up and walked off. He was forgiven and the penalty of sin was canceled. Amen. He came for healing. He got forgiveness and then he got healing. Amen. Which one is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you or to say rise up and walk? What's the answer? They're both easy. And people will say, well, no, it's easy to receive forgiveness, but I just can't seem to get hold of that healing thing. You know, I mean, that's easy. The other is hard. But, you know, there are people who have been struggling with forgiveness of sin all their life and just can't seem to get it.
Yeah, that's
true. They can't seem to get it. It's just beyond. They're just not. Like I say, you know, when you're ready, you're ready. It's not easy for a lot of folks. I struggle myself. I was 29 years old when I came to know the Lord, and I'd gone to church that evening in May of 1979. Don't figure it out. With the intention of merely joining the church, because I decided I'm going to live a different life. I see my life is taking me down the tubes. I'm going to change my life. What can I do? And I said, well, go to church and join the church. That's it. You know, that'll fix you. That's the best I knew. I didn't know. I didn't hear from God. I wasn't even born again. But the preacher gave the invitation, and I was sitting about two-thirds of the way back, and I got up and went up front. And the preacher looked at me and said, did you come to rededicate your life? I had no idea what that meant. I said, no, I came to receive Christ. It's interesting that I said I came to receive Christ. I didn't know anything about church language or religious talk or anything, but I knew what I was going for. It was to receive Christ.
Amen.
I guess I'd heard that expression somewhere over the years. And I didn't know what that meant. I just wanted to receive Christ.
Amen.
You see, I was ready to receive.
Amen.
I didn't hear a word he preached that evening. I just knew when he gave the invitation, I was going to go down and receive Christ.
Amen.
And join the church. But then all sorts of crazy things happened after that, and it's called being born again, and it was just amazing in my life. You know, many people hear the message about healing, but they're just not ready to receive. And like I said earlier, I don't know all the necessary ingredients to get somebody healed. But sometimes people just aren't ready. Which one's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to rise and be healed? I think the Lord's trying to get us to the place that we look at them at the same. It's just as easy for you to get healed as it is forgiven.
Amen.
Because that whole healing teaching has been bombarded by unbelief for centuries. And so we've taken a cleaver and separated the two. Forgiveness is over here. Healing is over here. And never shall the two meet. But Jesus came to give us both of them, and they came in the same package.
Amen.
They came when you receive forgiveness, you received it from the same place you receive healing. Okay. How do you know you're forgiven?
By faith.
What? By what?
Faith.
Amen.
The blood.
How do you know you're forgiven? You can't see forgiveness. A lot of times people look exactly the same after they're forgiven. I know that guy. I know what his life was like. I don't believe that guy got saved, but yeah, actually he did.
Alice Cooper got saved.
Oh, my goodness. So are you sure you're forgiven? Anybody here sure you're forgiven?
Yes.
I see a show of hands.
Yes.
All right. It's amazing how many people are sure they're forgiven, and you can't see it, but you can believe it by faith. That's exactly the way healing works, too. The same way you get healed. By faith, you're healed before you see it. By faith, you know you're healed even when you still have symptoms. You know, when I was saved and got born again back in 1979, did you know I was sad to discover that I still had symptoms of unrighteousness for a long time? I still thought, well, golly, I'm so far from being what I'm supposed to be. I think for 2 years I thought I was the only one in the group that wasn't a real Christian. You know, they look so holy and pure and perfect. They do. But then I've got all these problems I'm dealing with, all these evil thoughts, all these attitudes, all these sorts of things that just aren't Christ-like. And the devil saying, well, you must not really be saved. But I knew I was. I knew he loved me. I knew I was forgiven. I knew something had happened in my life, but it was a long time before this righteousness thing set in. Over time, I learned that the Scripture says God has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When I realized we're made the righteousness of God, I realized it doesn't matter what symptoms I still have of unrighteousness. I am the righteousness of God. And that began to be my mindset and the way I felt about myself. Not based on how good I was, but how much he had given me his righteousness. It was a free gift.
Amen.
So the point is that you can be forgiven and you can be healed. And if you can be healed, you can be forgiven. They come in the same redemption we have in Christ. Which is easier? The answer is they're both the same. Sin and sickness originate from the same problem or source. The Bible says that by one man's sin, death entered in, which is the source of all sickness. Forgiveness and healing both stem from the same work of redemption at Calvary. Can you be forgiven? Yes. Then you can be healed the same way, by faith. How do you know you're forgiven? By faith. How do you know you're healed? By faith. Praise God. Oh, but it may not be God's will. Oh, he may be trying to teach me something. Oh, this sickness may be a blessing in disguise. Baloney. It's not. Sickness is a curse. It never will be a blessing. Anyway, this is the kind of stuff you hear. I'm just warning you ahead of time. I'm sure you've heard it already. The paralyzed man got up and went to his house. Paralyzed people cannot get up and walk, can they? Evidently they can. Wicked, sinful people cannot be made righteous, can they?
Yes, they can.
Yes, they can.
Amen.
How? By faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So which one's easier? They're both. In fact, the truth is that one is as impossible as the other. Jesus' disciples asked him, who then can be saved? Jesus said, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. So the salvation that we have, the forgiveness, is as miraculous as any sickness that our physical body could ever have as far as being healed from it. So the thing of being made righteous, that's just as miraculous. And somebody says, no, forgiveness is a lot easier. Well, they must not understand what it costs to make us free from sin. Was it easy for Jesus to give us forgiveness? No, there was a huge price that was paid for it. Look at what it took to get a person born again. It took Calvary. And so that's by far the greater miracle than any repair work to our physical body. But the same redemption gave us forgiveness, also gave us healing. If it's possible to be forgiven, then it's possible for you to be healed. Forgiveness and healing were both given by the same work of Calvary, and they are both received the same way by faith. You know, it's interesting, the Greek word sozo is what we use for the word saved. Thou shalt be saved, or sozoed. And James uses that word. That word salvation includes more than just being forgiven. James uses it, and he says the prayer of faith will save the sick. I think the translator should have said shall heal the sick, shouldn't he? If you're sick, call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, pray over, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Well, they use the word save because it's the same word, sozo. See, I think he meant the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And another verse says that we should confess our faults one to another that you may be healed. I got to thinking about that. So, well, maybe that word, that sozo right there, should have been translated forgiven. It could have said, it could have meant confess your faults one to another that you might be forgiven. And I'm not trying to change the scripture. I'm just saying they use the same word two different ways.
Yeah,
and they may have used them incorrectly. So the same word sozo is translated both ways. Forgiven, healed, saved.
With you.
To destroy the works of the devil. I'm trying to give us a different idea and a different way of thinking about healing than we've thought before. Because we've been indoctrinated with religious beliefs that have come down through the centuries that have robbed us of faith and have instilled unbelief in us. Why could we not cast out that devil and heal that boy? Because of your unbelief. These are Jesus' disciples. Could they possibly have unbelief in their heart? Sure. To destroy the works of the devil. Oh, this is good. I like this. You might like it too. Who knows? Forgiveness and healing are two parts of the same package. They were both purchased at Calvary. One of the great healing scriptures that we use is 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. We use that a lot.
Amen.
Notice that Peter made mention both of forgiveness and healing together in that scripture. He bore our sins in his own body to the tree, by whose stripes you were healed. He mentioned them together. One comes with the other. But men have taken a cleaver and divided forgiveness from healing. And tell us that, well, healing passed away. Oh, this can't be. This cannot be. And I'll tell you why. We'll get there. A large part of the church world has bought into that for centuries. The church in general has strong faith for forgiveness, but weak faith or even unbelief for healing. But our redemption provides both of them. Healing both for ourselves as well as the ability to impart healing to others. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, Isaiah 53, this is a great scripture. We're all familiar with it. I want to show you something the Lord showed me the other day that just jolted me. And you may think I'm nuts or you may like it too. We'll see. Sometimes revelation will jump out from the most familiar scriptures. That's what I found. Usually that's the case. Isaiah 53:1, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This is Isaiah seeing a vision of the Messiah.
Yes.
Something's going to happen hundreds of years later at Calvary. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him smitten, or stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Now, if we study out these words, and I've done it before in here, and you can look it up yourself, the words griefs and sorrows are translated in other places in the Bible as sickness and pain. But here the translators chose to use the softer words, griefs and sorrows. But in Matthew 8:17, when Matthew refers back to this scripture, here's the way he renders it. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses.
Right.
So he's talking about physical sicknesses. That's the Holy Spirit's interpretation of what Isaiah said. He interpreted it in Matthew. So let's read it that way. Verse 4 of Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our sicknesses, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. How many believe that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions?
Yes.
Amen. How many believe he was bruised for our iniquities?
Amen.
Praise God. So, the verse just before that said, surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. Is that just as true?
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely just as true. But I never noticed that that was the first thing he said in this vision. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. That was the first thing Isaiah said. Then he said, but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. If forgiveness is all that Christ came to do, wouldn't they have put that first? Think about that for a second. Why did he even mention the healing part? Notice that he mentioned it first. Surely, absolutely, he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. So, see, as you read from verse 1 to verse 4, Isaiah talks about the Messiah being like a root out of dry ground. There's nothing desirable about him. He's despised and rejected and so on and so forth. The first startling statement he makes is that surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. Then in the next verse, he talks about him suffering for our sins and then ends that verse again with, by his stripes you are healed. So that whole thing of healing and forgiveness is sandwiched between two expressions of how he healed our physical disease. And so it occurred to me as I was thinking about that what was Jesus' purpose in coming to the earth? And I had this wild notion that maybe his purpose for coming to the earth was to eradicate sickness and disease from the earth. And in order to do that, he had to deal with this sin issue, because sickness was the penalty of sin. See, it wasn't just to forgive us. It was to... Now, wait a minute now. There's some other scriptures that back this up. Maybe there was a bigger purpose than just forgiving our sins. And then another verse came across my mind in 1 John 3:8. Which says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Yeah.
And Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Everyone Jesus healed was suffering from the oppression of the devil. The works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And forgiveness of sin was part of that.
Yes.
There's more to this. This is not as wild and far-fetched as you might think. Does forgiveness of sin alone destroy the works of the devil in the earth?
Yes.
It destroys some of them. Gives us the power to take advantage, take dominion over our lives. The power to be free from sin. It does that in our lives. But does it destroy the works of the devil in the earth? There's still a lot of the works of the devil that are in the earth. So let's take it another step further. It sets an individual free from the power of sin over his or her own life. And we all know the verse in Mark 16:17-18, which says, and these signs, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. And it says a couple other things. It says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now see, that comes in line with a bigger vision. A mission of why Christ came to earth.
Wow.
So for Jesus to accomplish his mission of destroying the works of the devil requires the participation of those who have been forgiven. That's us. We must cast out devils. If Jesus' mission is going to be accomplished, and we must lay hands on the sick for them to recover, we must take dominion over the devil's kingdom if we're going to destroy his works. Otherwise, you got a bunch of nice folks who are forgiven of their sins who are going to go to heaven when they die. But the earth is basically unaffected. But he came to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
Okay, you may have to meditate on this and chew on it for a while, but... I'm trying to get a bigger picture of what Christ came for than just to forgive our sins. It was to totally eradicate the works of the devil from the earth. Has that happened yet? It hasn't happened yet. But we have the power within us to bring that to pass, at least to a measure. And it's eventually going to fill the whole earth. It says he's waiting. He's seated at the right hand of God, expecting for his enemies to be made his footstool. He's sitting there waiting for us to do it. And it's going to take power to do it. It's going to take healing to do it, not just forgiveness. Praise God. See, as wonderful and amazing as forgiveness of sin is, and thank God for it, Jesus came with a bigger mission to not only forgive our sins, but to destroy the works of the devil in the earth, from the earth. And the church, in large part, has not caught on to that vision. We have separated forgiveness from healing when they're both parts of the same package.
Amen.
They are both needed to accomplish the mission that Christ came to earth for. Is this stretching your perspective on healing a little bit?
Yes.
See, it's a tool we need to use. It's not just, well, God might heal me if I'm nice one day and I catch him on a good day. No, that's not it at all. It came with forgiveness. The penalty, the remission of the penalty came with the forgiveness. Okay, can you see why the devil may have worked so hard over the centuries to water down our belief in healing?
Yeah.
To bring unbelief into the doctrines of the church, because the Lord wants to heal us and the world as much as he wants to forgive us and the world.
Amen.
Forgiveness and healing are part of the same package. He forgives all our iniquities, heals all our diseases, but we have to believe it.
Amen.
We have to believe it. All things are possible to him that believes. And if you just sow in a little bit of unbelief into people's hearts, then it stops working because nobody's believing it anymore.
Amen.
Might not be God's will. He might be trying to teach me something. This may be a blessing in disguise. No, we've got to take a different stand. This last part's going to take 2 minutes, and it goes like this. Believe you receive. Forgiveness and healing are connected to the same source of problem and the same solution in redemption. Like I said, most Christians believe it's easy to be forgiven, but very difficult to get healed. But according to Jesus, which is easier? They're both the same. Forgiveness deals with the sin problem. But if the sin problem is fixed, then the sin penalty problem ought to be fixed too, right? Does that make sense? Why isn't it fixed? Often it's because we've been believing the wrong things, stuff like it's God's will for us to be sick, or that some great purpose is being accomplished through it. It's impossible to have faith for healing while you're believing that kind of stuff. You can't believe this and this too. You're double-minded. In the story we read, the paralyzed man got up, took up his couch, went to his house, glorifying God. What glorifies God, sickness or healing?
Healing.
What glorifies God, sin or forgiveness?
Forgiveness.
What glorifies God, defeat or victory?
Victory.
Praise God. Amen. The Bible tells us that Christ has dominion over hell and death. You remember that scripture we used to sing a song? Behold, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. If he has those keys, then we have access to them too. He has given us his authority. Through him, we have dominion over hell and death because he has that dominion. Anything that proceeds from the spiritual force of death, we have dominion over it.
Amen.
If we will exercise authority and dominion over it by faith. Unrighteousness proceeds from spiritual death. How are we delivered from unrighteousness? Well, we hear the gospel. We hear somebody preach the gospel about God's forgiveness. And we either take it as ours or we leave it. We either take it or we leave it. We're saved because we took it one day. See, God doesn't make anybody get saved, even though we sometimes ask him to. God, make them totally uncomfortable until they get saved. No, God's not going to do that. Give them no peace, Lord, until they get saved. No, he's not going to do that. He would violate the old free will thing. But when we do believe in Him, the Bible says that He gives us authority to become the sons of God. To all that believed on Him gave He power or authority to become the sons of God. And by that authority He gives us, we take dominion over unrighteousness. That's our first act of dominion as a Christian, to become born again. He gives us the power to do it, and we do it. God makes His righteousness available to us, and we take it by faith. Isn't that what happened? Absolutely. It wouldn't have happened. Well, would we ever have received forgiveness if we had not believed it and received it? Would we have received that forgiveness if we hadn't believed it and taken it? No, we wouldn't have. Wouldn't have happened. Healing comes the same way. And this is the thought I want to leave you with. Healing comes the same way. We hear the word about healing. Surely He has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. By His stripes you were healed. We believe it and we take it by faith. Either we believe it and take it, or we leave it. We take it or leave it. We take it or leave it, just like we took forgiveness or left it. We believe it and we take it by faith. Will you see immediate results? Rarely, but sometimes. The first sign of our healing is our faith in it. When we get to the place that we're moved more by the promise of God than we're moved by physical symptoms, then healing begins to work in us.
Amen.
The healing that comes from Calvary. And I'm just going to share this one scripture and close. Jesus gave us the key to receiving from God. And we don't think about this often. It's in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. And I've got half a page left, folks. That's less than a minute and a half. Hang in there. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I, Jesus, say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Believe that you receive and you shall have them. Believe that you receive them. Them what? Them things you're praying for and you shall have them. You see, we must believe first. Somebody says, well, you know, fix a fire. Well, put some wood on the fire. Well, no, I want the fire first, then I'll put some wood on it. See, we have to believe first. Believing we receive what we are asking for. We believe a lot of things. And you hear people pray. We believe God is good. How many believe God is good? Amen. We believe that with God nothing shall be impossible. How many believe that? I believe it too, praise God. How many believe God answers prayers? All those are wonderful things to believe. They really are. But seldom do we believe that we receive what we desire when we pray. How many people do that? Do you believe you receive when you pray?
Yes.
That's the only thing Jesus told us to do. You would think He knows what He's talking about. That's the only thing He said. Believe you receive when you pray and you shall have them. So we have to settle the answer to the prayer while we're still praying. We have to settle the part about the answer. We have it. It's ours. He said, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Them what? Them things you're praying about. And you shall have them when? Well, after you believe you received them for a while. Amen. See, the you shall have them part is God's part. The believing I receive when I pray is my part. That's the only thing I have control over, whether I believe I receive it or not. The other part's God. You don't have any control over when He makes it happen or brings it to pass in your life. So the believe you receive is our part. You shall have them is God's part. If we do our part, He'll do His part. And I'm going to close with this. If God has given me a promise, and the only thing preventing me from receiving that promise is my failure to believe it, I think I'd go to work on my believing. What about you? Yes. Praise God. Amen.